Blog Talk Radio.
Evangelist Patricia Williams. Our co-host for this show is Reverend Roosevelt Williams, and Reverend Williams is on the line listening, and we may bring him in shortly. It just depends on a number of things. In the meantime, hello, Evangelist Williams. How are you?
I'm blessed. How are you?
Doing well.
Good.
So we have an interesting topic this afternoon. We want to know the importance of the baptisms, and we did put an S on there for a reason. And we also want to know, is there a certain age that baptism is important? And we're going to, of course, go according to the scripture.
Okay.
So, now the first thing that I saw that made me decided to put an S on it was in Acts 19:3, when it says, so Paul asked, then what baptism did you receive?
Okay.
So in accordance with just reading just that one, not going any farther into that, one would automatically say, okay, there's more than one baptism.
Okay.
So I guess I am going to have to bring the other person on. I'm going to bring Reverend Williams on the line. He's determined to be on this call.
Amen.
Now, I know that the 714 number, it doesn't want to talk. I remember that from last time. And there's a 936672. Now, do they want to speak or do they want to listen for a while? I know that's one of your callers.
Amen.
Evangelist Williams?
Yes.
Do you know if they want to?
I think that's Minister Bobby. And she'll probably come in later.
Okay, well, I'll just wait until she raised the flag.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
She did. She came back in and did it. Okay, we're there. We're there now. So I have Reverend Williams and Minister Bobby on the line. And good evening to both of you.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Okay. I want everyone to know that Reverend Williams was just released today from the hospital, so we're not going to let him do a lot of talking. He should be on bed rest. Okay. Well, you called the right one, but I'm controlling the phone lines.
Amen.
We're glad you're doing better. We prayed for you.
All right. Thank you. Amen.
Amen.
But, I found it hard when he told me the topic. I found it was hard to let go, especially when you're talking about God's word. But I'm going to sit and listen, but I just have some things I just would like to share. Amen.
Okay. Well, you know that, right, Evangelist Williams?
Yes, we don't want him to get too excited.
Right. Okay, Evangelist Williams, Minister Bobby, which one of you want to start this off?
Okay. I have Acts 19, and I started at the third verse. I heard you say 4. I started 3-7, and it says...
Right,
I
did 3.
Okay. And he said unto them, unto what baptism then were you baptized? And they said unto him, John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, said unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. And all the men were about 12. So I stopped there, and I have a few more scriptures that I would like to bring in a little later. I didn't know that Miss Sigler was going to do that one first. But she asked them, of course,
you know, we'd be on the same page every time. We.
Yeah, but we don't even talk about this stuff.
I know. But go on and tell us what you got from that.
Okay. Well, can I just want to go back to Matthew 3:11, because this was kind of where John's baptism started, the baptism of John started. So if you would allow me just to go back to Matthew 3:11. I indeed baptize you with water to repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand. He will thoroughly purge his floors and gather his wind to the garden. But he will burn up the shaft with unquenchable fire. And, okay, I'm going to read 13:2. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to baptize of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answered and said unto him, God, for it to be so now. For thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And you asking about how important is baptism. Well, listen to 16 and 17. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lightning on him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Now, when I think about how important baptism is, and I'm talking about water baptism because I have water, the Holy Ghost with fire, and the tongue talking. I got all that. But the water baptism, I feel that if Jesus had needed to be baptized with John as an example to us, I feel that water baptism is important.
Amen.
I feel that it's important, you know, because anything that Jesus done, if we're gonna be like him, we know we're going to do greater works because the Bible said it. But if we wear the braces, what would Jesus do? How would Jesus do this? Well, I want to do just what Jesus done. I want to do just how he did it. But a lot of people have issues with the name, baptism, the name. So in case this sugar that I was going to miss and be left out, I got baptized in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost when I was a kid. As I further searched the scriptures, I got baptized in the name of Jesus. So I got
okay.
I got all, like I said, and the sprinklers. I didn't get sprinkled because the scripture teaches us to be immersed. And in Colossians 2 and 12, it talks about the symbol of baptism, the water baptism being immersed. So I think that it's very important.
Okay. Now, I want to ask a question from what you just said. You said that it does say that to emerge. But you know how they have the christenings for the babies?
Yes.
And they sprinkle them with water.
Mm-hmm.
Is that acceptable?
Okay. Now, this is what some people do. But our babies, we have the little, you know, the little bath pans?
Mm-hmm.
The little bath, baby bath pans?
Yes.
If you fill it almost to the top, you can actually put your hand over the mouth and nose. It only takes a second or two. Mm-hmm. And immerse them quickly.
Okay.
So we don't do the sprinkling. But now if somebody wants to throw some water on them, I guess that's them.
Okay. Now,
you know,
we're gonna stop right there. Before we get, we're not going to discuss the age thing right now.
Okay.
So, Minister Bobby.
Yes, ma'am.
What do you have for us?
Oh, I have St. John 3 and 5.
I got that one.
Okay.
I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So here Jesus was commanding us to be born of the water and of the Spirit. And as I was studying in the lesson, it talked about believers who submit because that Jesus command that this be done. And he gave us an example by being baptized himself. This is an act of obedience. It's an act of commitment. And it's a proclamation. It shows the inward of the man. When a person has changed from the inside in Christ Jesus to Christ Jesus, they want it to be known that they are baptized in Christ as an outward symbol. So it's a symbol of my commitment to Christ in obedience, that he asked us that we do the same as Sister Pat was saying, my pastor, Sister William, was saying, it's a commitment. He himself did it. So if we're going to do what Jesus did, then we should also commit to a baptism as well.
Okay. That's great. Amen. Reverend Williams.
Yes.
Two minutes.
Good evening.
No more than 2 minutes, please.
yes, we are to commit to baptism. A lot of people feel that, the thief on the cross, he didn't go to no water. He couldn't get there.
He's all right.
And he could stick up his hand and say, excuse me, let me come down and go get baptized. But the thing is, when we are able-bodied, just as Jesus, as the minister said, Jesus went and got baptized. And even John came preaching about baptism. Okay? And so, yes, we should submit ourselves to baptism if we're able-bodied to get there. You know? Okay?
Okay. Now we I think that's everybody that was going to say something. I want to ask now the question: is there an appropriate age that one should be baptized? I guess a part two of that is a person ever too young to be baptized, or is there an appropriate age?
Now, I would say at the age of accountability because, you know, like I said a few minutes ago, our denomination emerges even the babies if the parents request that they be baptized. But the babies does not understand. They don't understand. We know they don't understand. But sometimes when we give our children back to the Lord, we want to do everything that we seek. The babies are already angels, so if they pass away, they're going to go back to be with the Lord anyway. You see what I'm saying?
Amen.
Okay.
So it wouldn't keep them from going to heaven if they were not baptized. Some parents are fearful of their children being baptized. And then, on the other hand, they'll put them in swimming pools with those little things around them. So, you know, some people are just afraid because, you know, I waited until my children were old enough as we taught them the word. They were baptized because they understood. I didn't want to be putting them in the water. They were little bitty fellows, and they'd be fearful and scared and kicking and crying. So, you know, when they wanted to make a confession with their mouth, according to Romans 10:9-10, I told them, if you understand what you're saying and you want, you know, to commit your life to Christ, you want to live a different life than that of sinners, because you were born in sin, I said, then you will have to be baptized.
Okay.
Or you need to be baptized. And then I explained it to them.
Okay. So that would be when they're old enough to recognize that what they are doing is a commitment.
Yes.
With the Lord.
When they can understand, yes.
Okay. Before we move on, does anybody have any different thoughts on that?
No, I agree with the minister, as she said, because the first thing, we have to understand God set order when it comes to baptism.
Okay.
You don't just you don't just step in the water thing going for a swim.
Okay.
One thing, the first thing Paul is over in the book of the Bible says over the book of Mark that John said repent. First off, mm-hmm. do a baby know anything about repentance?
All right.
Okay.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And if you first thing, we always want to tell children about what baptism is, but don't let them understand. First, you got to repent.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
And then, even over in the book of Acts 2:38, even Peter said that he preached his first sermon. He said, "Repent, every one of you, be baptized." It's hard.
Okay.
It's not just saying, okay, I believe in Jesus. Let me go dip in the water.
Okay.
You gotta repent. You know?
Yeah.
All right.
So there should be, an age limit where a child is, as the minister said, is that when a child can understand what they're doing, we sit down as parents and explain to them.
Okay. Okay. Now with I want you to hold that. We have another caller on the line. We're going to let them say what they want to say about the first part. Caller 443-955. How are you?
I'm good. This is Marcel Russell Stolson.
Who is that?
Marcel Russell, the singer.
Oh, okay. I just hold on 1 second. Hold on 1 second.
Sure.
Okay. We're going to get back to him in just a second. The next question I want to ask, and I'm going to give you guys, I'm going to play a song here and give everyone a chance to find. I know there's going to be a lot to say about this, but once a person backslides, and we're going to use that word, backslide, should they be baptized once they recommit their life to the Lord? So I'm going to play a song here and come back,
okay,
if you don't mind. Okay. Back, and we are going to bring the 443 caller on so that he can join the discussion on the importance of baptism. Are you there, Marcel?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, now did you want to discuss something, or did you have a scripture you want to share with us, or did you want to just listen in for a minute?
Yeah, I missed, you know, I came into the tail end, so, you know, I only caught, you know, what age do you feel, I think that's what I caught.
Okay. Well,
should a child be baptized?
Okay, we have Evangelist Williams is our host, Reverend Roosevelt Williams is our co-host, and we have Minister Bobby, which seems to be one of the co-hosts as well, because she's here every week with us, and we really do appreciate that. and Evangelist Williams, would you want to kind of give them a briefing on what was said about the importance of the baptism, if you don't mind?
Okay.
No, just the first part of we discussed, the importance.
You're talking about, was he asking, the importance.
Yes.
Okay, you want me to go over the scripture again?
No.
Just give it to him?
No, just the summation, I guess,
okay.
A briefing on why baptism is important.
Okay, baptism is important because in the scripture, Jesus went to John and he told him that he had need to be baptized of him. And I was just explaining in Matthew 3 and 11 how that if it was important for Jesus to be baptized of John, then I want to do whatever it is that Jesus done. And so I think water baptism is very important. And, you know, that's the reason why we need to be water baptized. And also in Colossians 2 and 12, it talks about the symbolizing of being buried with Jesus in water baptism. So I think that it's very important, and it's a necessary thing that we should do.
Right.
And we also talked about Acts 2 and 38 and John 3 and 5.
Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
Now we decided that the age, the appropriate age, is when the child is old enough to understand that baptism is a commitment between himself or herself and the Lord.
Yes.
Okay. Now,
and we just call it the age of accountability.
Okay. Okay.
Yes.
Now the next question was, if a person backslides, should they be baptized, you know, leave the church, you know, go out into a world of whatever, and recommit their life to Christ, should they be baptized again?
No. I this is Marcel. I don't biblically see that as, I didn't get baptized because Jesus got baptized. Personally, I got baptized because in Luke 14 he commanded that everyone be baptized. And so if he didn't command it, because there was a bunch of stuff that he did, I'm not going to fast. Well, I did not eat for 40 days, and I may do that, but I'm not going to necessarily do it just because he did it. But not to say that it's not good to do any particular thing that Jesus did, but I know there are certain things I can't. I probably could walk on water, but if I had the faith, but I'm not going to assume that. But I definitely believe that I should be baptized because it is commanded multiple times that we need to participate in the death, burial, and resurrection. And if I'm not baptized, my sins will not be cleansed. So, and it was the only chance for me to participate in the situation of the crucifixion. I don't believe a child should be baptized, just to kind of paraphrase, because they cannot make a conscious decision to follow God. Children at no point in the history of the Bible have ever been baptized. That's a very new tradition. It's less than 100 years old of baptizing babies in more of the Western civilization. Some in the 1400s, but it's not very common. The whole backsliding concept, I don't think any human can determine when a person is restored in their relationship with God.
Okay, well, that's the thing, Marcellus. Excuse me, just 1 minute. That's the thing. The discussions are always based on Scripture. So, you know, it's just a given that if a question is asked, we're asking for someone to find a Scripture that will validate
or,
you know, whatever that yes.
Sure.
You know, to validate that. Because, you know, if we just give our thoughts, our opinions on a matter, you know, sometimes it can, you know, it's easy to do that.
Kind of knock everybody off course, yeah.
It's easy to do that. Because even though I may see something in the Scripture, I may not agree with it and still feel that I am living, you know, a righteous life, just give my opinion on why I don't feel like that's the right thing for me to do. And, in accordance to the word, if we're going to live according to the word, then we're going to have to know what the word says about a particular thing. I think that's
right. Yeah.
Right.
Well, Hebrews 10:27 talks about a fear for expectation. For
and where is that?
Hebrews 10:27.
Okay.
For those who do not, you know, who continue to take advantage of grace and who blow off the word of God, there is a fearful expectation of judgment and raging fire for them. The key word was expectation. So, mm-hmm. And there's a fearful, as the Hebrew writer says, there's a fearful expectation, meaning it's not looking good for you. But I, again, in the area of when I was in the ministry, my job at one point was to go out to people's houses and convict them. And I did that for a short period of time until I remember one day I was going to one brother's house and I was looking for scriptures to justify what I was doing and I couldn't find any. And until I got to the Word of God where it said it is the Holy Spirit's job to actually convict. Human beings are not assigned to convict.
Okay.
All we can do is make people feel guilty, but I'm not. Mm-hmm. Only the Holy Spirit has the authority to convict.
Okay.
And so I had to call the leaders of the church back and say, guys, I'm supposed to be, as the Bible talks about, encourage one another daily.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just supposed to be encouraging the brothers and sisters to stay faithful. Conviction comes from the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. So
okay.
in regards to backsliding and stuff like that, I can encourage a brother to stay faithful, but there could be people in the fellowship right beside me have long since left God, and they've never missed one service. And
mm-hmm.
there are people who may have to travel. They may have been a governor, pretty much like the Ethiopian eunuch, that may not get a lot of chance to spend a lot of time with the body, but totally committed to the Word of God. So I think, you know, I guess my question to everybody is, what is defined as backsliding?
Well, as I stated earlier, my question was, if you have been baptized and lived the life that is worthy and pleasing to God, according to the Word, and
mm-hmm.
you left that and went out into the world and lived the same life that you were living before you became saved and sanctified.
Sure.
When you recommit your life to Christ, do you get baptized? So with that, I'm going to Minister Bobby and give her a minute, and then we'll make our way back around.
Praise God. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at Hebrews 6, and I'm going to start at the fourth verse. And it says, "For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the power of the world to come, if they should fall away, to renew them again unto repentance." He said, it's impossible. Because, see, what they've done, they have denied Christ. And my understanding and teaching is that God have turned them over to a reprobated mind. Now, I don't know at what point, as Brother Russell was asking, who can defile who is a backslider. But I know if they denounce Christ and they have tasted, glory to God, of the heavenly gift and of his word, and then they are, glory to God, they fall away. To renew them, he says, it's impossible. And then you go over here and he says, but the true believer says, we are not of them who draw back unto prediction. In other words, destruction. But of them that believe to the saving of souls. So my understanding, if a person denied Christ and he was once of the believers of Christ, and he turned around and denied. The scripture, my understanding is that it's impossible to restore them.
Okay. All right.
I need some help.
Thank you. Thank you for that.
Yes, ma'am.
We're going to save Reverend Williams for last. So, Evangelist Williams.
Okay. Well, first of all, the brother that was sharing, he was, now, this is not all because I need clarification of something, because the Bible says greater works shall we do. We're going to do even greater things than what's done, because it's so many more of us believers than just Jesus one. So when he said something about he can't do what Jesus done, well, I don't know about him. And fasting 40 days is not something that I have to do, because when we're in the wilderness, that's sin. So if we mm-hmm. repent of our sin, he's already died for the sin of the whole world, so his blood covers me right there. So unless he called me to do a 40-day fast, I don't go there. Amen? But I kind of like was just kind of thinking when he was just talking, because I don't want us to get scriptures misconstrued with the teachings of different denominations and different settings. Because the Word of God is what's going to bear us all out. And we're going to have to know the Word.
live the word, walk in the word, and we become converted. Now, to answer your question, according to the scripture, Ms. Sugar,
mm-hmm.
if one backslides, now the word backsliding means you are leaving that you're leaving a point in your walk with Christ.
Mm-hmm.
You're leaving from point A. Well, I'm going to say you're at number 12. If
okay.
you are backsliding, you're going to
okay.
go back to 11, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, on back down to 0. Backsliding is stop doing that you were already doing. Stop walking in that you were already once walking in. And
okay.
so the baptism, and we don't want to get the scripture mixed up either. It says one faith, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. There are many baptisms, and you said that in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to be renewed and refreshed, you can go in the water as many times as you want to. If you want to be just renewed and refreshed, you don't have to just be baptized one time when you're a child or when you get 25 or when you get 60. Or you can get baptized under the water, go in the water as many times as you want. There is no scripture that I find that condemns that. There's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing wrong with it. If you feel to be baptized again, be baptized again. You know, I don't feel it's anything according to the word of God that's wrong with that. I didn't find any scripture that condemned it. But the thing of it is, remission of sin, I heard Reverend Williams say this. That's the key thing right there. No matter how many times you go under the water, your soul has got to be right. You've got to have your focus. You got to have your focus on Jesus, and you got to read it and walk in it. And no matter what anybody teaches or any group says, it's according to the word of God. We're going to have to live right. We're going to have to live dedicated. We're going to have to live devoted. We're going to have to walk in the righteousness of God, not in the righteousness of a group or what somebody says. It's got to be according to the word. It's got to be according to the word of God. Because we get all twisted up and tangled up with our opinions, and it'll mess somebody up.
Right.
But
yes, ma'am.
In the word, if we can't find it in the word, let's don't even go there with it. Because
okay.
what I say might very well be different than what you even think or what you've been taught. We don't want to make anybody feel like that they're in the wrong group or you're reading the wrong kind of Bible. Let's get the
right.
whole Bible, see what the word of God says, and stick with that.
Okay. Well, that's why we in the show we make it clear that we're not discussing denominations, and we do have scripture to back up.
Yeah.
You know what we're saying. So it's not based on opinion, because to help someone, if they already have an opinion and you're giving them your opinion, that's just a debate. It's not really helping. Right. It's not exactly. Exactly.
Now, can I ask a question before Reverend Williams talk? Just let me ask one question. If a person is in a backslidden state and they get dipped, immersed under the water in the form of baptism,
okay.
if they're in a backslidden state and they have not repented, does the dipping in the water again do them any good?
Okay, Reverend Williams, I hear your page is turning. and I know it's you, so I'm calling you out on the air.
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry.
See how I'm doing.
One thing we have to remember, we serve a God of grace and mercy. Now, not to all the Hebrews, but Hebrews is for one who turned away from God. He has denounced the God out of his
That's
life.
That's right.
He heard the word of salvation. He took it. But now, because the Bible says, if we find one in a fault, let us restore that brother who can love.
Yes, yes, yes.
Now, the thing is, the question was, can a person get, sticking to the question, can you get rebaptized? Nowhere in the Bible it tells us that person get rebaptized because they fell into a sin or they done backslid into the world.
Okay.
They hadn't denounced the God. They just got caught up and fell back into the world.
Okay.
But there's two differences to a backslider. One, you backslide, you just fell back out there, like the prodigal son. Jesus preached about the prodigal son, right?
Right.
So the one thing about it, now, then there's one who denounced to God and ain't got nothing to do with him no more.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? As Romans say, they profess God, but does not retain him in their heart. He turned him over to a reprobate. And so we have to understand that just because I done fell out there in the world don't mean I have to come running back up in the church. I want to get rebaptized, because one thing, we have to identify what is baptism.
Okay.
Baptism is the dying, is called the representation, okay, the dying of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, it's the dying of the old man and the rising of the new man. It's when the old man goes down bearing that old man, and he's coming up the new man. And the thing is, you can't put Christ back up on the cross and in the grave.
That's right.
And neither is he getting ready to put you back into no grave. You can put your own self. But he died once for you. And the only thing you can do is come back and just say, Lord, I'm sorry.
Amen. Repent.
Just repent. And I'd rather take my chance on repenting than anything else. And so the thing is, there's no way we can go back into the water and redo anything. Because the Bible doesn't even show us that. Some people do.
That's
it.
Right.
And as minister said, I don't knock it.
I
baptized a guy that want to get baptized again.
Right.
If that don't soothe his soul, hey, let me baptize.
That's right.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Russell, do you have anything to say?
Yeah,
no,
I totally agree with the pastor. None of the disciples, well, so they all fell away. And so they all left Jesus. And none of them went back and got rebaptized. That just doesn't, that's not the purpose of baptism. And I think that's,
amen.
In particular, younger people, I feel like we got a really unhealthy, I just turned 37. I feel like my generation has a really unhealthy perspective of what baptism is in the first place. It was the day you died and the day Christ, you decided that all your sins, you had a choice to make. Am I going to keep them all over my hands, all over me, or am I going to die and let Jesus take my sins, and I'm burying them in the water, and he's going to take them for me. And so that he doesn't keep retaking them. It's not, you're not less righteous, more righteous every day. Once that happens, Jesus is taking them every day. Now, Hebrews talks about if you deliberately keep on sinning, and Galatians 5:19, after you understand these things, there's a fifth expectation. And so it makes it clear that if you take advantage of this death that Jesus had on the cross, that you got bigger problems coming. Now you headed to more of a fallaway state where you can't be restored because you're taking advantage of – But once Jesus dies for you and you acknowledge that and you die in that sin, that symbolism of going every Sunday, you're thinking, then your baptism was pointless. Then if you're doing that every time you feel like you come back, that's false teaching, and you have an unhealthy perspective of the purpose of the baptism. And then you shouldn't have done it anyway, because in Luke 14, Jesus says, before you even do this, he says, count the cost. And he gives an entire detailed account to all the guys. He says, go out and make disciples and baptize them, all nations. Basically, don't you let them touch the water until they understand the foundation of what they're doing. And no one gets married until they have counseling and fully understand what they're doing. So when you're married, unless you get a divorce, even if you leave that person and go away and run around, you're still married. So by the laws of God and by the laws of man, you can't be unmarried until there's a protocol on where you're unmarried. And so the same thing with your baptism. When you are married to Christ, God sets the standard on when you're unmarried. You just leaving the group and running around, you can't, just like we can't set the standard for salvation, we can't set the standard for falling away or veering off, you know. So that was my only thoughts about that. I just, when people tell me, man, when I'm doing bad, I need to go get baptized again, I'm asking, what did you get baptized for the first time? And if they like, well, you know, I need to get baptized to get right with God, I'm like, No. I think you haven't counted the cost, because that's not what it's for.
Amen.
Right. They just need to repent and be restored.
Exactly. And the Bible, you know, Proverbs talks about a man's heart is of deep waters, but only a man of understanding can draw them out. And then John, I think it's John, Matthew 26. No, hold on. Let me think. It's John 6. Hold on. Let me look at it. Right. It's Galatians. I'm sorry. Galatians 6:1. It says, brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit, basically you who are mature, means that everybody don't need to be helping them just because they profess to be Christians. You don't need to be touching them. But you who have learned how to overcome that particular struggle, who've learned how
Amen.
To be mature in your walk, you need to go handle them gently, because the key word was gently.
Amen.
So if you're not seasoned and you're not mature, you don't need to be really assigned to be going to be trying to help strengthen somebody's weak faith. And it says, because it says after that, because watch yourself, that you too are not tempted. So a lot of people struggling with the same thing should not be visiting homes. And if pornography is your struggle and you just want to go help your brother in Christ in the faith, you probably don't need to be going over there with that guy, because that's your struggle too. It says restore him gently,
right.
You know, so they can get kind of back on in a healthier place. So, but that's Galatians 6:1 talks about restoring. Hebrews and Galatians spends a lot of time talking about how to strengthen the faith of the weak.
Right.
Amen.
Now, can I ask you a question? Or ask you guys another question? If the person does.
Okay, there's a lot of noise coming from somewhere.
Okay,
try it again, Evangelist Williams.
A person has to have a desire and want to be restored, right? I'm asking a question. Because I don't care how bad you want to bring somebody back into the fellowship or bring somebody back into relationship with Christ, this is a personal thing, and a person is going to have to want to.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Right?
Yeah.
Amen.
They're going to have to want to themselves.
Hello?
Because in a person that you see falling every week on the same thing, the same issue, that person does really not want to be delivered from that thing.
Yeah,
we've dealt
with
it over and over. And it's just, it's almost impossible, because we can't make people walk this. We can't make people live it. They're going to have a desire to do this themselves. Now, if they get weak along the way, it's their job to seek help. You know, if I need prayer, I call Miss Sugar. She don't know whether I need prayer or not, unless the Lord give it to her. But if I don't really need something, I want to have somebody that I can go to and seek help.
That's right.
So we're talking about restoring someone or just falling away on somebody that's weak. Let's allow them to ask for help. Because a lot of times, you know, we stick our nose out there and they don't really want our help. That's why they keep doing the same thing over and over.
Well, the Bible actually, in that regard, tells us, it's steps that we should take. If let's say me, if I'm struggling with adultery with my wife, the Bible says that I'm supposed to go with one leader in the body, and that brother is supposed to meet with me and talk to me with the Word of God about what's going with the choices I'm making. If that time does not help, I need to go grab another person, not talk behind the mind and back, not go have a meeting about what they did, but bring maybe another witness and meet with that person with the Word of God to talk to them about this issue. And then talks about, then you bring it before the group, bring it before the body. If it still does not work, you ask them to take some time away from the group because we can't determine them going away from the kingdom. That's God determining where they lie in their salvation with their eternity, but they could take some time away from the group itself. And when they are ready to honor kind of the respect, because First Corinthians 12 talks about the body. The eye can't live without the hand, and the hand can't live without the feet. And so when they're ready to honor the body and not dishonor the body that they're a part of, then you can restore them back to the body, because we can't really restore people back to God. We can restore people back to our particular local congregations, back to the group itself. We can restore them back to, but restoring them to the kingdom, we have no authority to the restore them to a kingdom that was never ours to save them from. But I think what a lot of people do is they don't call people to, hey, we're going to have to deal with you in steps, not letting you in and out of the church with one person talking to them. I rarely have seen a church where a person has been asked to leave the church because they won't stop a particular sin that God has made clear. And he specifically gave us structure on how to do it. Very, very few churches will do that. I resigned out of the ministry when my marriage started struggling, because the Bible says if a man can't lead his household, he ought not be leading God's people. When my marriage was struggling, I resigned, took some time, and worked on my marriage, worked on my household before I started trying to lead. A lot of people won't even – so, you know, that if you could stay in the ministry and your household is falling apart, to me, you're falling away. You're being rebellious. You're going against the word of God. But a lot of times I feel like people are not called to honor what the Bible says. And when they don't do it, I feel like we recreate how we so-called restore them. We do something other than what's written in the word.
Okay. I understand what you're saying, but I heard you say that if you were struggling with adultery, you sought help. That's all I was saying. You sought help.
They got to want help. Even if they come in every Sunday, they do not need to be looked at as a believer. They do not need to be looked at as a committed disciple or a committed Christian. They need to be made clear to the body, hey, we love brother, let's say me, we love brother Marcel, but we're not honoring him as a committed person in this body. Now, We're not sure where he stands with God, but we're not honoring him as we look at other people who are struggling, trying to make sense of a walk with God. We're not honoring him as a man that's committing to following this word, because you've got, number one, by law, federally, you got to do it while they're present, because if you don't do it while they're present and you do it away from them, you broke federal laws, and Romans talks about not breaking laws of the land, so federally, you can't do it, and biblically, you can't do it. You have to do it in the protocol, federally and biblically, while they are present. And if they still want to keep showing up, amen. You can come back next Sunday. You can fellowship. You can sing real loud with us. But we're not leaning to you when we struggle with our spirituality. We're not leaning to you until you decide to say, guys, I'm ready to repent of this thing. I want to be part of the body. I want to help this thing grow. I want to be a fisherman, and I want to make a difference. Until you're ready to clearly make that call for Christ, nah, it's okay. You can be my physical brother. I love you to death. But I'm not claiming, you know, if somebody asks me, are you committed, from my vantage point, no, from what I see, and I don't want to get it twisted.
Right.
Okay.
Well, I totally agree. And you are in a very strong ministry, because that's the way our church is. That's the way our church is. If you're living in sin, God forbid it. So, hey, get it straight. And you can come to church. We don't put you out, but you don't participate in especially sacred things such as a communion and you know, all that kind of stuff. You don't, you know, touch God's finances, you know, because you're not going to bring a curse on the body. So I understand what you're saying. But this life is a commitment. We still got to live it.
Okay, I'm going to bring Sister Regina on. She's been too quiet, so I'm calling you out, Sister Regina.
Praise the Lord. God bless everybody. I mean, I just came on a little bit late, you know.
That's
but, you
okay.
know, I was sitting and listening, and, you know, the word is, God is true all by itself. You know, you got to want to get help. If you want help, you need to ask, or you need to press your way to the man and woman of God. So you can get help and get healed and delivered, you know, because, you know, and repent of your sin, you know, you can't make it to heaven if you don't repent. You ain't going nowhere.
Amen.
You just a sinner.
Amen.
You're just, really, you just there. You know, you're not, you know, you're going to be left out. Just the bottom
Amen.
Line. You're just going to be left out.
That's
know?
Just
Amen.
The bottom line. You're just going to be left out.
Do what God has me to do. I don't want to be left out.
I like
I'm
that.
I'm not going to be left out.
Say, this discussion, you know what? We could just sum it up. You don't do it, you're going to be left out.
That's right.
Okay. All right. Amen. Reverend Roosevelt? Is Reverend Williams there? Okay. I know he's on the line, but he can't hear us, I guess.
This is he.
Okay.
Y'all got me?
We're
okay.
Waiting on you.
Okay. I'm trying not to, but first of all, we need to understand, no, you can't go back and get baptized.
Mm-mm.
But all in Luther, which all y'all talking about, Jesus said, first off, very real I say unto thee, except a man be born again.
Born again, they cannot enter the kingdom of heaven.
And the first thing is, he said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit.
I got that one.
And the one thing about it, do we allow the Holy Spirit to enter our lives to convict us?
That's it. That's what conviction.
And the thing is, to the brother's answer on the churches don't practice that because they still losing members. Now the Bible
yeah.
tells us that when you find one that's just contrary and keep on, because if he stay there, he gonna
mess it
the
up.
Whole country.
He gonna mess it up. Amen.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now there are a lot of things I hear and see, but just because one person made one mistake, I hear folks, well, he need to go sit down. The Bible ain't saying God didn't sit David down, and David was king. But the one thing God is trying to get us to understand is the other baptism we need to be talking about is the one other baptism of the Holy Spirit.
That's it.
Have you been baptized in the Holy Ghost?
That's it.
Amen.
You're the leading
God. You're baptized
in
the Holy Ghost. You get all types of power. You get power to see and tell you get power to do all kinds of things. But also
it
gives you power to overcome whatever is in your life.
All right.
See? And if you don't have the power, it's going to send somebody with the power to help you to get through that. And so the one thing about it we need to understand is that, people have to want to be helped. They don't want to be
right.
helped. The best power you can give them is pray for them.
Amen.
And let them do what they're going to do because they're going to do it anyway.
Amen.
Well, I think one of the things that helps that is James 5:16. It says, confess your sins to one another daily so you may be healed. And so I think a lot of people, when you put a light on what Satan's doing, you minimize the effects of what he can do. And so when I'm confessing things as a struggle, I don't need to keep confessing things as a sin. If I start confessing things as a temptation, then I don't have to worry about confessing them as the end result. So if I'm struggling with lust or poor management of money, or I put money over God, or if I'm struggling with putting my job over God or putting my children over God, and I'm struggling with that, and I'm in my word and I'm praying through it and I'm confessing it to other brothers and sisters, I have less likelihood that those things are going to continue to manifest and grow. And so I think one of the downsides in today's churches is it's not encouraged that we confess to one another daily. And Proverbs even talks about confessing your sins and concealing them. The blood is on your hands. So I feel like just because you don't need to be baptized, it doesn't mean that you won't totally lose your relationship with God by not doing the things that it takes to keep a healthy and a righteous relationship. And I do understand that God didn't stop using David necessarily to be a king, but he definitely wasn't necessarily using him to lead God's people. He didn't even God on him about the ark. He said, I didn't even ask you to build that. You keep doing a whole lot of things, David, that I asked you to do. I appreciate your heart, but you'd call a whole lot of audibles that I didn't ask you to do. But when it comes to the order of the church, God is very specific about things in the structure of building the kingdom through the church. A lot of the Old Testament was a foreshadowing of what we get to be blessed with today, which is this amazing kingdom. Those guys saw the blessing of what we were going to have. They, Abraham was the beginning of monotheism. He was the beginning of one guy choosing to follow one God. Even Sarah was struggling with that concept. So those guys were developing a culture that we live in effortlessly through God's grace and mercy in the cross today. So I still believe that there are a lot of stuff that happens is because a lot of that we allow to grow within our own hearts and within the body. That's just my personal opinion, just about a lot of convictions. A lot of challenges are not made in the body.
Right. But now, brother, well, didn't you say you were a pastor? Were you a pastor?
No, ma'am. I resigned from the traditional ministry, and then I started traveling. I went and became a songwriter, and I reached people through that way. So I decided I was going to reach a whole lot more people my grandfather's a bishop, my parents are pastors, and I just resigned from that model and met with my mom and just said, I think I can reach more people through music and going out and traveling. But the traditional ministry, I resigned.
Evangelist, we're going to take a 50-second break. And it sounds like you have something you want to say. And after you, we're going to bring on Minister Bobby to let her give us some words.
Okay.
Hi, this is Ms. Sugar with Faith Based Purpose with your host, Evangelist Patricia Williams, co-host Reverend Roosevelt Williams, and I, Ms. Sugar, am your moderator. We would like to thank you for tuning in. If you would like to call in and be a participant in the discussion, please call 718-305-6798. Again, 718-305-6798. We welcome you to join our discussion. It is not a debate. It is a discussion based on Scripture. So again, please give us a call. 718-305-6798. Now let's get back to our discussion.
Okay, Evangelist Williams, did you have something that you were getting ready to ask?
I wanted to encourage the brother because he was saying that, at least I thought I heard him say something about problems or situations that may have caused him to step down from where he was or from the position that he had at his church or with the Lord or whatever, because he kept referring to himself. So I was just gonna say, a lot of times we go to people, and I think I heard him say this, that the Bible said, "Come unto me, ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." In other words, if we're in a struggle, sometimes we cannot go to people. People are messed up really bad. But we need to learn to hear the voice of God through his word, because he talks to the individual. He talks to the individual. If I'm the one that reading where it says, "I shall not lie," guess who is talking to me? And so I was just going to say to him, he says, "No, he travels and sings songs, you know, and he reaches people through music, you know." But the word of God is it. I got saved by the word. And I'm not condemning anything that God has called anybody to do any certain way. Songs may reach the younger generation. He's in his 30s. I'm almost 60. But I've been saved 37 years. And so I have seen a lot of stuff in the churches. And he was talking about my husband as a pastor. And I'm his alma mater. I'm his number one fan. Because both of us love God. But he said, we allow things to happen in the church. If we call sin, sin according to the word of God, it cannot reign in our churches. It cannot reign in our churches. And some of the ministers is on the line from the Savings Place Church, and they know that I'm telling the truth, we will call it out. And help is there, but you still have got to want it. If we really love God and we are called to obedience, we will do what God says, what God has commissioned us to do. And there won't, nobody don't have to fall away. Nobody don't have to leave God. Nobody even have to leave the church. But it still has got to be in the individual. You've got to have your own mind made up that you're going to walk this walk. So,
okay.
You know, I thought that he said that he was like a minister or something, or he gave up pastoring or something. You know, and now he seems gone. So I just want to, you know, I don't think it's anything that, just make us just turn and walk away. And so somebody read that scripture. You know, if you turn to a reprobate, God did that because he did it because of our disobedience.
Okay. I'm hearing some noise in someone's background. I don't know where it's coming from this time.
Don't look at me.
Marcella.
Ma'am?
No, it's not you, Reverend Williams, because I muted yours. It wasn't you. I thought it was you. Marcellus, do you care to respond to what Evangelist Williams has asked or stated?
Yeah, well, I agree about the, leaning on God. I mean, I've had to travel the world a lot of times by myself and go to other countries on my own faith, but I do still believe wholeheartedly in the importance of the body and that God set it up that way. The Muslims have a God that's all by itself. Buddhism, Jainism, Sikhism, Mahadevi, we're the only one who has a relationship God. That God set up things with himself as a relationship. So, and even the greatest command.
Okay, I'm going to have to interrupt you there because if we're not discussing denominations, then we can't go into that. But at the same time,
no, I don't want to go into denominations. I don't want to go just when we were initially talking about when we were talking about backsliding and reaching out to other people,
right.
That a lot of times got to just go to God. That was my point. That I don't totally agree. I mean, I agree with a lot of what she said. That no nonsense in the church. I agree with that, but. But I do believe in the relationships that we need. The relationships, Jesus says the greatest command is to love God with all your heart. And he says the second half is equal to that one, is to love each other like you love yourself. And so the second half of the greatest command ever is relationships. So I believe that God is measuring what we do, according to James, Jesus' brother, what we do among one another is the greatest reflection of what we is what we do horizontal is the greatest reflection of what's really going on vertically. So I do believe there is a slight selfishness that we need in the body, but only slight. A big portion of it is needs to manifest through these relationships, and I believe Jesus and God set it up specifically that we will not make it without relationships.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you for that. And at this time, we're going to let Minister Bobby have a word.
But truly, I've been blessed by all that has been shared. Sometimes it is just good to listen. And as I was listening, I was led to understand that without faith,
okay.
It's impossible.
There's a bad connection on someone's end because I'm getting a lot of noise and a lot of background noise or feedback or something. And I'm not sure where it's coming from. I've tried muting everybody to see where it's coming from, but I can't tell where it's coming from. But I'm sorry. Go ahead, Mr. Bobby.
Yes, ma'am. And I was sharing, you know, it's personal. And without faith in God, a person shouldn't be baptized. And in the Old Testament, it talked about that they didn't baptize non-believers if they didn't believe in God. And I went on to read about the jailer. When Paul spoke to the Philippian jailer, how they baptized their whole house, as well as the ruler in the synagogue, who believed on the Lord, and he baptized his whole house. So they were saying that in reference to whoever was in their home, whether it was infants or whoever, they did that according to their faith. And with that faith, we don't have salvation. And salvation follows faith, which lead up to baptism. And when we be baptized, we making a personal covenant with God. We enter into that covenant with God. And so if a person's mind is not made up, if they're not really sold out for Christ and all in for him, they shouldn't be baptized. It's a personal thing. And I can't judge, or I don't feel nobody could judge who can be baptized. Only that person knows his faith. But it starts with your faith in God. Just how much faith do you have? And that was my input, because as I was listening, before you can even do anything, you got to believe that Jesus died and God rose him from the dead. And through that comes salvation, because you believe. So all the baptism and the rinsing in the water, it's of none effect if your heart is not made up, if you're not right in your mind. So it's a personal thing, my understanding, the relationship between that person and Christ.
Okay, I'm gonna have to mute their mic here, because I can't. It's a lot of noise and that's coming through. I don't know if they're turning pages or if they're rubbing the phone. If something is going on,
it's not me.
Is it still going on right now?
Right this very minute, it's not.
It might. I have a beard, so let me just kind of move my face. Like, I'm hoping to God. I'm like, is this, maybe it's my beard. I'm praying to God it's not my beard. If it is my fault.
Okay. Reverend Williams.
Yes.
Okay. Anything else that you wanted to add to this discussion?
I'm going to add these here, and I have to go. Gotta take my medicine, but I just want everybody to understand, to them, and there's a thing. It does not say. It is a thing that you took to say, I recognize Christ in my life before everyone. It's just like you're getting a tattoo. Instead of getting a tattoo, you're going to be submerged of letting the whole body know that I accept Christ in my life. And as I said, you cannot go get baptized until you repent. That's like a person saying, I'm going to get married, but you didn't even, court the person. You know? And so God is about order. No matter how you do it, we should always repent. Then baptism. Now to go talking about getting baptized again, that's up to the individual. But the Bible does not even show it. And the one thing about it is, once you get all that, now you need to go seeking, trying to get baptized with more, because Jesus said, go ye therefore. But when he said go ye therefore, he didn't say just go out there. Because in order to go ye therefore, you got to have some power. And if you don't have power, you're going to get ate up.
You're right about that.
I don't care where you go.
Come on.
And that's what when he gave the disciples, go ye therefore, he told them, before you go ye therefore, tarry here in Jerusalem.
Well.
So we need to take up some time and tarry and ask God to baptize you with the power of the Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah.
With each and every one of you all, I'm going to say good night, and y'all keep me in prayer. Amen.
God bless you. We enjoy you.
All right.
Thank you for joining us.
All right. Love y'all.
We love you,
too. We love you, too. Okay, Sister Regina.
Yes, Miss Sugar.
Do you have anything you want to add? Even if it's just an amen.
It's just plain and simple. You just got to repent and move on with Jesus.
All right.
Don't worry about what went on behind. And God bless you.
All right. Okay, so I guess in summing it up, I guess we've learned that the purpose of the water baptism is a personal commitment, is our personal commitment to Christ.
Yes. Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
And it clears us of our past.
All righty.
Is that right?
Amen.
Or it represents clearing us of our past if we are believers. I guess I should put the last part on there. If we are believers,
right.
If we're not just being baptized, just to be baptized.
Yeah.
Like I told you, my godfather told me when I was 14, wasn't no use of me going in a dry devil and coming out a wet one. So if we are believers, okay, that's the symbol that we use to as a commitment to Christ. Okay.
Amen.
All right, and I guess. What else did we discuss? That it was also, it symbolizes the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ.
Right.
Okay.
And we need to, at the age of accountability, to realize and to know what you're really doing. I like the discussion about the, like the babies get baptized and stuff. That doesn't make any sense. So we need to be at the age of accountability. They need to be well taught. It's a sacred commitment, between them and the Lord.
Okay. So does anyone, with that being said, I know that there are some of us, I'll say, think that especially our grandkids are just the smartest things in the world. Nobody
mm-hmm.
else's grandchild is as smart as ours. So say my grandchild is 8 years old.
Okay.
And I just, for example, say, talk to my granddaughter about being baptized, and I ask her, tell her that, why I say she should be baptized, or I may even tell her what the word says about baptism, about water baptism. And, as a child, I remember it put a fear in me.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a fear in me to think that something could happen to me and I was going to hell. And not understanding the whole concept of it and not understanding that as a child, I'm already covered.
Yes.
So at 8 years old, you ask a child, what does baptism mean? What does it mean? Why would you get baptized? And they can't explain it. I'm thinking that what we're saying is then that child should not be baptized.
I agree.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think it's just to the point where they can explain what baptism is, but where they had to get to a point where they're at an age of accountability. And for most of history, that's kind of around a preteen years. It's just kind of the historical, not historical, but typically my son is fine. He'll be 10 in November. He's not ready mentally. He's just grasping lying and integrity. Like,
right.
It's very difficult to hold him accountable to sin because he's just grasping that you do understand why you're getting punished because you lie. Like, he's just wrapping his mind around
steady line. So to hold him accountable to make a decision to be baptized, to know that, that you got to make a decision to commit to Christ the rest of your life, you must die to yourself. Dead. At 8 years old, I think it's no, not only 9 years old, I think it, right around, I would say for him, it depends on his maturity, but my wife and I, it looks like my son may be easily 13, 14, 15 years old when he really grasps and is mature enough. He may prove before then, but it's not looking like it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, is everybody in agreement on the topics that were discussed today?
Yes, amen.
Okay, so does anyone else have anything else that they would like to share or another topic? We do have a few minutes left. If anybody have something else that they would like to address in maybe a 20-minute topic? No? Okay, well, I think we've had a good segment today, and we will be back as soon as, you know, the team here says that we'll be back. Otherwise, we'll be back Monday. But if we're coming back before Monday, someone just contact me and let me know what the topic is so I can post it.
Okay. Okay.
All right.
God bless all of you.
Yes, and you too.
Okay.
And everyone have a good evening.
Same to you, Ms. Shippa.
Oh, no problem, no problem. God bless you, Sister Regina.
You're gonna have to
talk to us. Let us know. Let us know what you have to say about these topics. You're under good leadership. I know you know.
Oh yes. Oh Lord, have mercy, Jesus. Don't I know?
Oh,
that's
you'll make a call
going
now.
Nowhere else. Did God say for me to go?
You'll make a call now. Talk about a leadership.
That's what it's all about, you know. We have to have that, especially if we don't understand it ourselves. We got to have good leadership.
Yes, you got it. Or you gonna be messed up? Hold up,
Amen.
Well, y'all be blessed. We will talk to you later.
Okay, then. I'm gonna just let some music
Bye-bye.
Play, and you all have a good evening. God bless you.
You
all.
Too. Bye-bye.
God bless you.
God bless you too.
Bye.
Hi, this is Ms. Sugar of Faith Based Purpose. I am your moderator. Your host is Evangelist Patricia Williams, co-host Reverend Roosevelt Williams. The call-in number for the show is 718-305-6798. Again, that's 718-305-6798. We would love to have you join our discussions. Bring your scripture, bring a friend, and be a part of the show. We thank you for your support. Now let's get back to our discussion.
Again, we would like to thank everyone for joining our discussion today on the importance of the baptism and is there an appropriate age to be baptized. We will be back again on next Monday. Otherwise, please check back on blogtalkradio.com/ Faith-Based Purpose for updates. Thank you.
You know, so many times we as entertainers experience a little success in our careers and forget all about who brought us and the journey it took to get there. I wrote a little song about the story of my life and how much I really thank the Lord for keeping me down through these years. Lord, you've really been good to me. Now my dad left home when I was 8 years old. He passed. passed away in 1998. God rest his soul. I had to grow up real, real fast, 'cause I was the oldest boy of two. Tried my best to be the man and help my family make it through. Now I made some mistakes, but I learned from them all. My grandparents told me, no matter what happens, some just stand tall. They told me to put my trust in Jesus. He would always make a way. So I tried him for myself, y'all. And now I can say, Lord, 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 Lord,
you've been good to me.
Lord, 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 Lord,
you've been good to me.
My Father in heaven, you know that I love you.
You've been good to me.
I gotta take time out right now and say thank you, Jesus, because
you've been good to me.
Ooh, when I turned 21, I got married, 'cause I thought I was grown, didn't know what I was doing. I was much too young. I spent a whole lot of time back then, drinking and gambling, cheating and lying, a whole lot of midnight rambling. And looking back on those times, I did so much wrong, but God kept his arms around.
He will do.
this is Ms. Sugar of Faith Based Purpose. I am your moderator. Your host is Evangelist Patricia Williams, co-host Reverend Roosevelt Williams. The call-in number for the show is 718-305-6798. Again, that's 718-305-6798. We would love to have you join our discussions. Bring your scripture, bring a friend, and be a part of the show. We thank you for your support. Now let's get back to our discussions.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Ms. Sugar with SFTS Radio. If you would like your music added to our playlist, please submit to SFTS_radio@ymail.com. Also, if you would like to be a guest and have a one-on-one interview on our station, please contact us at SFTS_radio@ymail.com. Be sure to submit at least 3 tracks, a short bio, contact information, and any details you would like us to cover. And remember, we've got something for the soul.
Hello, this is Ms. Sugar, and today I would like for you to know that we really do have something for the soul. We're hoping that this show will be a blessing to someone. We have as our guest today, Evangelist J.J. Williams. Now, Evangelist J.J. Simmons. I am so sorry. The host for today will be Evangelist Patricia Williams, and I will be co-hosting this show. So I want to bring our host on. I'm just really messing up bad here today, but everybody that knows me, you know. We keep it real here, and we're relaxed, and we just do what we do so you can receive whatever message it is we're trying to put out there. So we're going to bring Evangelist Pat Williams on, Patricia Williams, and let her introduce herself. Evangelist Williams, this is Ms. Sugar. Are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, how are you this evening?
I'm blessed. How are you?
Same here. Blessings every day. Tell us about yourself, and we're going to bring Evangelist Simmons on. So give us a little information about you, who you are, and just some little details about yourself.
Okay. I'm Evangelist Patricia Williams from the Savings Place Holiness Church at 1618 Exeter Avenue in Dallas, Texas. My pastor and husband is Elder James Williams, and our assistant pastor is Evangelist Patricia Burns. Now, the church phone number is 214-375-0765, and there's a different number if you would like to receive prayer. That number is 972-493-1953.
Okay.
And I'm an evangelist.
All right, Evangelist Patricia Williams. And where are you located again?
We're located at 1618 Exeter Avenue in Dallas, Texas.
In Dallas, Texas. Okay. Now, we're going to bring our guest on, Evangelist J.J. Simmons. Are you there?
Yes, I am. I'm right here.
All right. And how are you this evening?
Man, I'm wonderful.
All right.
I'm feeling
real
good.
That's good to hear. I'm honored to have you on. We met by chance, so, you know, I guess it was meant to be. So I'm really honored to have you on. And what I would like for you to do is the same thing. I would like for you to introduce yourself, give the listeners some details about who you are.
Well, yeah, I'm an evangelist. I'm in full-time ministry. I have a street ministry, and I do a lot of preaching in different churches. I'm located here in Houston, Texas. I've been here in Houston since about 7 years, I think, going on 8 years in August since Hurricane Katrina. And I just have an outreach ministry that I reach out to the people on the streets. Of course, that's how I met you. And I go from city to city, you know, promoting the kingdom of God. And I'm just out here in Houston. And I'm actually in Houston right now for the week, and I'll be in Beaumont, Texas tomorrow evening, I believe. And I'm an evangelist, and I'm real passionate about the evangelism ministry, and that's what I do, outreach.
Okay. Well, see, maybe you and Evangelist Williams can, you know, maybe she can get you out in that area. You know, you guys, it's all about networking and getting that word out there. Every, you know, if
yes,
we all just bond together and get that word out there. So that'll be the way we'll do it. Somebody has their is next to a computer, I think, or some speakers, and have them up loud. So they have to turn the speakers down. Okay. Evangelist Simmons.
Yes,
what
ma'am.
I want to do right now is I can still hear that feedback in the speaker. What I want to do right now is play an insert here to let the listeners hear a little bit of what you do.
Okay.
All right.
Hey, how y'all doing? I just want to thank everybody that supported this CD, supported the ministry that you opened up your heart and supported what's going on at Eternal Life Ministries. My name is Evangelist Joel Simmons, Evangelist J.J. Simmons. Like I said, just thank you. And I just want to give these next few minutes, I just ask for your attention in Jesus' name, that you pay attention and that you open up your heart and let God speak to you. Amen. I want to come out of the book of Luke today. Luke chapter 2 is the few minutes that I have. I just want you to listen. I want you to hear the voice of God. I want you to open up your heart. A lot of y'all done brought this CD. Some of y'all probably don't even believe in God. Some of you running from God. Some of you wrestling with God. Wherever you might be at today, I know for a fact in Jesus' name you will hear his voice today through his servant. Amen? Praise God. Luke chapter 2 verse 41 says, "His parents went to Jerusalem every year at the Feast of Passover, and when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. When they had finished the days, as they returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother did not know it. But supposing him to have been in the company, they went a day's journey and sought him among their relative and acquaintance. So when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. Now it was that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. So when they saw him, they were amazed, and his mother said to him, 'Son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously.' And he said to them, 'Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business?' But they did not understand the statement which he spoke to them." Hallelujah. I just want you to pay attention right now. Everybody repeat after me. Say, "Lord Jesus, let this message be for me. Let it burn in my heart in Jesus' name. Amen." First of all,
okay, Evangelist Simmons. I'm sorry, hold on just a second. Evangelist Simmons, I'm going to need you to turn your speaker down.
I have no speaker on.
Okay, well, it's your phone that I'm getting the feedback from, because when I mute it from this end, it goes away. But that's okay. We'll manage through it. What I like to know, the question is, and after I ask you the question, then the conversation is going to be between you and Evangelist Williams. Why did you choose that passage to speak on?
Really. The thing is that that's a very familiar story. A lot of people, they quote it from the aspect of Jesus said, "Did you not know that I must be about my father's business?" But one day, just through just reading the story and meditating on it and trying to dig deep into it, it really stood out to me that the first thing that the Bible said is that he lingered behind. And that's when I was at a season in my life when I was trying to discover the will of God for my life. And the thing is that he didn't linger away from worldly people. He lingered away from his parents. And the thing is that to me, the insight I received on it is that even though that was his family, he had to separate himself for us for a moment in time because he didn't belong with them going back to Jerusalem. The Bible said that he lingered back and he stayed at the temple. And his assigned place at that divine moment in time was back at the temple. It wasn't with his parents because if he would have went with them, he wouldn't have been in the will of God at that assigned moment. For example, like when I met you, I belonged there at that assigned moment in time. So that really it really spoke to me big time because he lingered away from people you would thought he was supposed to be with, but he didn't belong with them at that time. He belonged at the temple.
Okay, Evangelist Williams, are you there?
Yes.
Okay. Do you have any viewpoint on that?
Well, I certainly can't agree with Evangelist Simmons when he says he lingered behind. A lot of times when our assignment is behind, we can't go in the forward. We can't go in the forward because we have to move in God's time. And where he needed to have been working for the kingdom purpose was behind his parents. A lot of times we miss our season with God because we're trying to go in another direction. We as people of God have to learn that whatever season that God is moving us in at that time, that's where we need to be. So I can certainly agree with you with his answer.
Okay. Evangelist Simmons.
Yes, ma'am.
Could you elaborate on that? Now, first of all, before I have you elaborate on that, I would like for you to, once again, and I'd like to do this throughout the show for other listeners that come on late, I want you to continue to give out your information as to if someone want you to come and speak, how they would contact you.
Well, you can contact me at 504-333-5173. And also you can go to my website, jjsimmons.com. I have a sermon on there right now. It's called The Principle-Driven Life. That's a free download right now. And I'm so excited about that teaching. I believe it will revolutionize the world. I strongly believe that. But, 504-333-5173. That's my direct number. You can contact me.
Well, tell us a little bit about that, your new sermon that you have on your website.
Oh, my. The Principle-Driven Life, the Bible is a lot of promises in the Bible. And, I mean, it's thousands of them. And I got to a place in my life where I got tired of hearing the promises because a lot of preachers, we proclaim the promises, but a lot of people don't know how to withdraw the promises. And the thing is that there's a withdrawal principle that you must apply on your part to withdraw from the promises of the kingdom of God. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people don't know that. Uh-huh. And I got desperate enough, and I decided that I wanted to search this thing out. And, for example, the Bible said, give and it shall be given. We know that scripture. You know, so many people hear it. But the thing is that I had to come to the understanding that you might as well ignore pressed down, shaking together, and running over if you don't do the give part, which is your part.
Okay.
Your part is to give, and once you give, it sets that principle in motion to come towards you. If you don't do your part to receive the benefit of that scripture, you might as well ignore the scripture.
Amen.
The scripture don't even apply to you. You can't even relate to it. And the thing is that many people, many people in the body of Christ, they get under ministries and they believe that they're teaching them wrong, but it's not that they're teaching you wrong. It's that you're not doing your part of the scripture. You play a part in these promises of God coming to pass in your life. And that's kind of like a rough draft of what the principle-driven life is all about.
Okay. And that's at jjsimmons.com.
jjsimmons.com. You can go there right now in Jesus' name for a free download.
Okay.
All right. So listeners, that means you can go there. You can download it to those iPods that you have, to your save it and put it in your iTunes, and you can have that message to listen to. You know, we have these smartphones now. You can save messages on your smartphone. So there's no reason for you not to have the Word of God with you at all times. Even if you don't take the time to read it, you can listen to it.
That's it.
Okay, now, Evangelist Williams, do you have anything you'd like to share?
I have one comment, because when Evangelist Simmons was talking about the promises of God, I spoke a message on the on some of the promises of God. And the Lord gave me something to encourage the members of the Saving Place. And we've been talking about this ever since. If we give God something to work with, he'll work it. And I heard him quote a portion of the scripture that give and it shall be given to him. And it's not misquoted. We just don't want to give. But this is what sets in motion the promise. That's what sets in motion is a giving. And Jesus is not short on either promise that he promised us. But we have to have enough faith. And our faith is what sets it into motion. Because if we believe what he says, we don't mind doing what he says.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times we just kind of, you know, just wait until somebody do something for us first.
Mm-hmm,
but if we take
mm-hmm.
the initiative, God will work it out for us every time, because he's not going to have us doing something and then let us down like that. So we let each other down. But God's promises are yea and amen. And if we have enough faith to put it into motion, he will certainly perform it.
Amen.
Okay. Evangelist Simmons, just jump right in there.
Oh yeah, well, you know, I just I'm just listening to him, and the thing is that I'm very you know, I had decided, you know, I went into a season, like I say, you know, the Bible talks about the fivefold ministry and about the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, and the teacher. And the thing is that I'm at one time, I can honestly admit it, it's embarrassing, but it's truth, you know, and it's a testimony that for a long time I wasn't attracted to the teacher. And when I got tired of hearing enough preaching, I decided that the teacher is what I needed. And I remember when, you know, even me, when I first started preaching, you know, I was a screamer and all that. But, you know, I got to a place where I wanted to empower the people. The Bible said that he gives us those gifts to them, to the body, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, so we all come to the unity of the faith. And the thing is that I remember I was preaching at a church a few months ago, and as I was preaching or teaching or whatever it is that I was doing, I said, you know, that's like even with the prophetic. You know, when somebody prophesies over you, you play a part in partnershiping with that prophecy and coming to pass.
That's right.
You know, you really, really do, you know. And a lot of people, and it really breaks my heart. I'm not going to lie to you. It breaks my heart because we have to become passionate enough, and we have to become students of the system of God and how God flows and how God operates, so we can get an understanding of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's why the Bible said that he may rightly divide the word of truth, so he need not to be ashamed. You know, and the thing is, one day I got a teaching also. It's called the Law of Student, and the thing is that people, we play a part. And we must really understand that because, for example, in my early walk with the Lord, you know, if you're not a student of the Word of God and you don't have the right understanding, the accurate understanding, the enemy can taunt you. He can torment you mentally because because I've been there. I qualify to say what I'm saying right now, because you would get to a place to where you would honestly, you would do this privately. You won't do it publicly, but privately you would feel like you're serving the wrong God. Is either you're going to feel like you're serving the wrong God, or you're missing it somewhere. You're going to feel like you're missing it, because I've been there. Because when all these awesome scriptures are in here that he's able to do exceedingly abundantly, but they're not coming to pass in your life, you would have a red flag in your mind. Come on now. Can I get a witness? You would have a red flag. You would feel like you're missing it. And the thing is that, so I've been there, and I got frustrated with it, but I knew I wasn't serving the wrong God, but I was like, somewhere down the line, I'm missing it. And the thing is that That's when the Ephesians 1:17 became life to me. It said that the Father of glory may give to you the spirit of wisdom and a revelation of the knowledge of Him, that the eyes of your understanding might be enlightened. So the thing is that people, we need a revelation of the knowledge of Him. We don't need revelation. You know, we need knowledge of the kingdom. You know, we need an understanding on how this thing flow. And the thing is that you know, for example, you know, and please come, you can free, because I'm, you know, I was a host of a TV show, so I can flow. So I was going to wait for y'all to answer me some questions, but if, you know, I'm just talking right now. If you want to come, y'all,
this is your moment.
Amen. See, the thing is this here, for example, you know, it's like, you know, they give away stuff for free all the time. The government do this and they do that. But, for example, you know, no listeners, please don't feel offended or feel disrespected. But it's just like with food stamps. You know, they give away food stamps, but you play a part. You got to go to that office and do whatever it is, the procedure that they put you through with this, fill out the application. And the thing is, it's the same thing in the spirit realm. You play a part to withdraw what rightly belongs to you.
That's
and we need to really understand that. In this scripture, I'm not going to lie to you. And, you know, it's my testimony. You know, I remember one day, I kid you not, I took communion reading this scripture, and this scripture became life to me. And I was like, my Lord, I need revelation of the knowledge of Him so my eyes can be enlightened. We need light. Yes. The Bible said that the entrance of His words bring light. And one of the biggest problems is, that's why I begin to I have a CD ministry, of course, like you met me, sister, and I'm out here right now, you know, doing ministry, and the thing is that I have decided to become the funnel or the channel, whatever it is, you know, so people can get an understanding, you know. It breaks my heart when I was in Beaumont, Texas one day doing ministry, and a lady walked up to me, she brought a CD from me, and she got in her car and she pulled off, and she came back like 20 minutes later, however minutes, it wasn't even an hour. And she walked up to me with so much sincerity in her eyes. She said, brother, she said, what you're teaching on this CD, I have never learned in 15 years sitting under my pastor.
Hmm.
And that broke my heart. It broke my heart. And an immature person would have got proud about it and felt like he was greater than the fact. But I didn't. What I really felt is it broke my heart, because when she walked off, the Holy Spirit spoke to me. This is what the Lord said. He said, imagine what else you haven't learned in 15 years. And the thing is that, you know, what I was teaching on that CD that she heard from me, that was elementary to me. I learned that like 4 years ago. But it just showed me how my Lord, like, people really don't have knowledge of the things of God. I mean, they believe. You know, one thing God showed me long time ago, He said, it's one thing to believe in God, and it's another thing to believe God. So you can believe in His existence. You can believe that He's Lord and He's God and all this other stuff. But it's another thing if you believe Him, that you believe that He's a man, that He should not lie. And the problem is that we have a lot of people that believe in His existence, but they don't believe Him.
Mm-hmm.
And I have decided to believe Him even when it don't make sense to my natural mind.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
that's what it is.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, that's awesome, and it is a difference. It is a difference.
Huge
you know,
difference.
If we really believe Him and trust Him, we can believe what the Word say. It's to us. It's to us. We can take His Word, and we can go places with His Word. But a lot of people don't know the Word of God. And if you don't know it, you can't do it.
You can't do it.
No, you can't do it. If we know the Word and trust God and know that His Word is true, I ministered a few months ago, we need to get past the believing and move in the knowing. It's a difference in just believing and knowing, because when you get into the knowing, you know without a shadow of a doubt, no matter what anybody says, that the Word of God is just what it said is.
Right.
And we just it is awesome. And I am certainly going to get on your website and dig out some of your goodies, because I have really enjoyed you ministering on the show this evening.
Yes, ma'am. Yeah, man. I'm very it's serious, you know. We really the problem to me is that learning is a process. You know, and that's what many people grow weary at, in the process part of it. You know, no muscle is built overnight. And that's where people they grow weary in enduring the process of manifestation. Mm-hmm. So the Bible says first the blade, then the ear, then the full, you know, head and the corn, whatever. And that's you know, you might see that in the scripture and it might seem, but between the blade and the ear, that's time. This is a time.
Yes, it is.
You know, it's seed time, harvest, seed time. Right. You know, and many of us ignore the time part of it. And that's where I'm at right now. And the thing is, see, I'm very and plus I got a TV show in the process right now. It's called Wisdom University. It's going to be airing on in Houston. It's a network called Rejoice Network. And I'm very serious about the wisdom of God because, you know, the Bible, wisdom is an identifier. You know, wisdom shows you where you're missing it at. See, everything is a wisdom problem. You don't have a money problem. You have a wisdom problem. You don't have a, you know, everything is a wisdom problem. And the thing is that, see, right now, and I'm going to just, my Lord and my God, somebody listening to me right now. See, the thing is this here. People, they go through life thinking that it's God's fault. But in reality, it's something that you're doing wrong. Because see, I learned this a long time ago. If you have lack in any area of your life, you can trace it back to something you're doing wrong. Not God.
That's
you. The problem is that we have a lot of people that we don't want to be real with ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
See, the Bible said this in Proverbs 13:18. It says, poverty and shame will come to him who disdains correction.
Did he say it?
Hallelujah. See, I'm going to read that again. It says, poverty and shame will come. It says, it will come.
Not
to him who disdains correction. Yeah, it will come. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
I just caught that part right there, too. Hallelujah. It says, it will come. That's a promise.
And no matter how long
that's
it
a
takes.
Promise. Yeah. And see, but then it says, this here, it says, but he who regards a rebuke will be honored. So the thing is this here. I remember one day I was driving somewhere and I, you know, they had a homeless man sitting under the bridge and the Holy Spirit, this when the scripture became life to me. He said, this is what God told me. He said, somewhere down in that man's life, he disdains correction. He disdained correction. Whether it was on his job, he didn't want to do what the job was telling him to do. He didn't want to listen to school. Somewhere in life, I can trace it back to he disdained correction. And the thing is that many people in life, not just in the body of Christ, but particular in the body of Christ, we disdain correction. And when you ignore the principle to receive the promise that you're looking for, it's going to penalize you.
Oh God, yes.
see this kind of teaching is spooky because see this was the Holy Spirit told me the other day. I was preaching at a church a few days ago. I think it was like 2 weeks ago out here in Houston, Community of Faith. Pastor Apostle Sam Harris. And this is what I told the people. I said, see, after this kind of teaching, it shifts the blame. See, when I can identify to you that it's your fault, not God, not your community, not your race, blah, 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 whatever it is that you've been blaming everybody for, it shifts the blame. And the thing is that once it shifts the blame, you can either do a few things. Either you can have an enlightenment, or you can try to act like it's not truth. But the thing is that, you know, he left us his word.
Yes.
And it's here. It's here to be applied. You know, and that's the one thing I teach on the principle-driven life. I said, let me say this because I wanted to say this a few minutes ago. People, we have to go through the process. One of my awesome mentors and you and his city sister and I was talking about it the other day. I'm planning on coming to Dallas next month.
All right.
Dr. Murdoch. Dr. Mike Murdoch,
okay.
I love that man. Thank God that's one of my mentors. And one thing, you know, the thing is that people, you know, we have to get serious. My Lord, there's so much I gotta say right now. But people, is really serious, and the thing is that when the blame is when you shift the blame is the part that you play in working the word. You have to work the word, like you said earlier, sister.
Yes. Yes.
We have about I think we have about 7 minutes left.
Okay.
And I am really enjoying this.
I am too.
I really am, because I know it, over the years I've learned that teaching and preaching is totally different.
It is.
Yes, it is.
Totally different.
And the Lord ordained me to be a teacher, and a lot of you know, women pastors and women preachers, which my daughter's an awesome pastor and preacher, they said, you know, you're a good preacher. And I just listened to them. I said, but you know what? I know my calling is teaching, but preaching goes along with it. I said, but I like to make plain the word of God.
Exactly.
I said, because if we know it, we'll do it.
Mm-hmm.
If you teach it to me, you know, Mom, Ms. Sugar, we had lots and lots of good teachers
mm-hmm.
in school.
Right.
They taught us. They taught us. And they made it to where we could understand it, understand what they were saying. And I love the teaching. I like Bible study. I like Sunday school. I like the teaching. And I like to take my Bibles and lay them out on my bed and just go from scripture to scripture and just read them and meditate on them. I like to get an understanding, because we really can live this life if we understand what we're trying to live.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times when the minister's preaching, he get way up in high gear. We don't get as much as if somebody would sit us down and teach us, because Jesus set the disciples and the multitudes down, and he taught them. Now, the ones that went away and didn't get anything, it wasn't because they weren't taught. We have that same thing today. People go away after they've been taught and do the opposite, but at least the seed has been planted. So I have really enjoyed Evangelist Simmons. I tell you, this has been awesome, and I'm going to get on this internet, and I'm going to look at some of your materials, because I just love the word of God.
Amen. Yeah, JJSimmons.com. You can go there quickly. And my direct number is 504-333-5173. And
I got the
yes, ma'am. So yeah, man, people, we mm-hmm. have to we have to get serious about understanding.
Yes.
Okay.
We have to
yes.
get very serious awesome. About of operating, because you know, so, and I'm gonna just say this, because I'm gonna have to repent if I don't say it. For example, the Bible says, first seek the kingdom of God
mm-hmm.
and his righteousness. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
See, many people we think that scripture means pray all day, but that scripture don't mean pray.
Mm-hmm.
And the
no.
thing is that. Oh my Lord! See, I'm about to break some strongholds in a lot of people's mind. But you need this, because he who regards a rebuke will be honored. And this is what the Bible says. If I was to tell somebody, look, when we get home, wash the dishes and the plates. The word "and" is, you know, it means I'm separating. I'm talking about two different things. And Jesus said, first seek the kingdom of God. He didn't say seek the king.
Mm-hmm.
He said the kingdom,
mm-hmm.
and then he said and his righteousness. So that was two
uh-huh.
different things he was talking about. So the thing is that the kingdom of God is the principles of Jesus, and,
mm-hmm.
and his righteousness is the person of Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the thing is that scripture is twofold. And please, if any one of y'all can be honest with me, a lot of people, we grew up thinking that scripture means pray all day, but that scripture ain't about prayer. Because the thing is that you
things.
Can...
Mm-hmm.
Is exactly his way of doing things. The thing is that you can be extremely familiar with the person of Jesus, but be plumb dumb about the principles of Jesus.
Uh-huh. Oh.
Because I remember one day a guy told me, he said, well, Jesus ain't preach prosperity. I said, well, it depends what day you caught him on. Because one day we see him teaching, love your neighbor as you love yourself, but then the next
uh-huh.
day we see him teaching the parable of the talent. See, the parable of the talents is stewardship, and stewardship is the foundation to prosperity. So it depends
yeah.
what day you caught them on. And I love, and I'm really starting to get a greater appreciation for the teachings of Jesus, because he didn't leave us in the blind. Because if he just would have taught us to love our neighbor and then give us the principles of the kingdom, we would still not have the tools to withdraw from the kingdom.
Let me stop you right there. The show may cut off in any minute. So before it cuts off, we're going to just talk it out until it cuts us off. It boots us off.
Hallelujah. We're going to have to do a part of it quickly.
Just go ahead and just, I just want you to know, if it cuts off, that, you know, don't worry about it. We'll do it another day. You know, we'll do this again another day. So just go right ahead.
JJSimmons.com. And please call my call me 504-333-5173 because I'm starting a Wisdom University. It's a TV show and it's also a school that's in the making right now because I'm serious, man. We need understanding of
praise
the kingdom
God.
Of God. And, you know, in Hebrews it says, let us leave, therefore, the elementary principles, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
we need to, you know, and it breaks my mind. I keep saying that that's a very powerful word to me because I'm literally heartbroken about how many people, they know that they lack understanding and they're comfortable with that and they don't want to keep going forward to become rooted and fully persuaded in the things of God. It breaks my heart to see that some people are comfortable where they're at and some of us are not.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I can... Through one teaching, through the principle-driven life, you can get fast forward in the spirit by listening to a CD. See, that's how I look at teaching. What took me 3 years, what took me 5 hard years to understand, you can get it in a moment. In 43 minutes through listening to the principle-driven life, you can eliminate pain through a teaching. So let me be the bridge in your life that would eliminate pain out of your life in Jesus' name. JJSimmons.com. 504-333-5173. Call me today in Jesus' name. Do not procrastinate.
Amen, amen. And there are higher heights and deeper depths in him through his word.
Yes, it is.
Yes, amen.
Okay,
hallelujah.
And on that note, before they boot us out, because we want to end the show on a good note, as I, you know, I always say, our show is SFTS Radio, and that SFTS means something for the soul. So today...
Mm-hmm.
You cannot say you didn't get fed. Your soul didn't get fed. So I really, as I say, I'm honored to have met you and honored to have had both of you on the show. And we will do this again.
Amen.
Yes, we
Amen.
Will.
Thank you for inviting you, Ms. Sugar.
Okay.
Thank you, Evangelist Simmons. Nice to meet you on the internet. On the radio show.
Amen. Let's stay in touch, sister.
Okay.
Yes, amen.
All right. Well, thank you, guys. And as I said, we will do this again.
God bless you. Call anytime.
Okay. God bless you all. Bye-bye.
Hi, this is Ms. Sugar of Faith-Based Purpose. I am your moderator. Your host is Evangelist Patricia Williams, co-host Reverend Roosevelt Williams. The call-in number for the show is 718-305-6798. Again, that's 718-305-6798. We would love to have you join our discussions. Bring your scripture, bring a friend, and be a part of the show. We thank you for your support. Now let's get back to our discussion.
Never would have made it. Never could have made it without you. I would have lost it all. But now I see how you were there for me, and I can say, never would have made it, never could have made it without you. I would have lost it all, but now I see how you were there for me, and I can say, I'm stronger, I'm wiser, I'm better, much better. When I look back over all you brought me through, I can see that you were the one I held on to, and I never,
never would have made it.
Oh, I never could have made it.
Yeah.
Somebody just needs to testify to somebody next to him. Tell him, I'm strong. I'm wise. I'm better. Much better. I made it. Is there anybody in this house other than me that could declare you made it? Tell your neighbor, never would have made it.
Never would have made it.
Tell them, never could have made it.